This week's Parsha is Parsha's Tzav, and we'll start in the beginning of the Parsha. The Pasuk says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Tzav es Aharon ves Bonav Lemor, command Aharon and his son saying, Zois Toiras Oila, this is the law of the Oila offering, He o Oila al Moigda, it is the Oila that stays on the fire, Ala Mizbeach, on the Mizbeach, Kol Alayla, the whole night, Ada Boiker, until morning. Veisha Mizbeach, Tukat Boy, and the fire of the Mizbeach should be kept aflame on it. Then Pasuk number 3, Velavash HaKoyen Midoy Vad, the Koyen should dress his fitted linen, tunic, Umichli Sevat Yilbesh HaBesoroy, and he should don his Michnasayim, his pants, on his flesh, Veheirim es adeshen, he should raise the ashes, asher toichal oesh es oila, that the fire consumed of the ola offering, ala mizbeach, that was on top of the mizbeach, vesamoy, and he should put it etzel mizbeach, next to the mizbeach. Rashi explains that ayochoite, that the koyen would shovel maloya machte, a shovel full, min amucholos apnimis, from the interior consumed ashes, meaning from the ashes that were in the middle of the mizbeach, that were close to the fire, which there, for sure, everything that was on top, the oiler, was consumed, and he takes that, the noisnan bemizrach shokeves, and he puts it on the eastern part of the keves, or the ramp that goes up to the Mizbeach. We are going to try to understand, number one, the symbolism of what is done, meaning that we are to remove ashes from on top of the Mizbeach and put it on the side of the Mizbeach. And second, if the only thing that the Kohen has to do is to take ashes from the top of the Mizbeach and put it in the side of the Mizbeach, why does the Torah say Veheirim as adeshen, that he should lift the ashes, asher toichal oesh, that the fire burned? The Torah could have just written down Velokach as adeshen, asher toichal oesh, he should take the deshen, the ashes that the fire is consumed, and put it next to Mizbeach. What is the language Veheirim that seems to be that he should raise? As a matter of fact, this service is called Trumas Hadeshen. And we have to understand, what is he doing that he is raising the ashes? The next Pasuk, Pasuk number 4, says, Ifoshat es begodov, that he should remove his garments, velavash begodim acherim, and he should wear and dress other clothing, vehoitzi es adeshen el mechutz lamachana, and he should remove the ashes outside the encampment, el makom toir, to a pure place. Rashi explains that this procedure wasn't done every day, only when the top of the Mizbeach was full of ashes, then we were required to empty out the Mizbeach to make room for new sacrifices to be able to go on the Mizbeach, and then we took these ashes and we took them outside the encampment. But before we did that, the Kohen is required to change his clothing. Rashi explains that Ein zu choiva, that this is not an obligation, meaning the Kohen isn't really required as a part of the service to remove the clothing. Elo derech eretz, the Torah is teaching you proper conduct. Why? Shelo yelachlech b'yitzoras adeshem begodim shumishamish bantamit, in order for him not to get the clothing that he uses every day dirty when he removes the ashes. Since the ashes are something dirty, if he's going to remove the ashes with his proper clothing, then those clothings are going to get dirty. And Rashi gives an example that people know that begadim shebisha bohem kader ol raboy, that the clothing that a person cooks a pot for his master, e'alim zok b'kois l'raboy, he will not use it to pour, while dressed in those clothing, a cup to the master, meaning that if you are cooking, then you have the stains all over your clothing, you're not going to use those clothing for the master. And since the Kohen has got proper clothing that he does the avodah with them, so he should not use those proper clothing to take out the ashes, because lest those clothing get dirty, and it'll be improper afterwards to do the service if those clothing, because then it'll be dirty clothing, and it's not proper to go do a respectable service with those clothing. Sefer Shemen Rosh asks a question, if this is proper procedure, meaning that normal conduct is that a person, when he's dealing with dirty things, he will change his clothes in order not to get his proper clothes or his dignified clothes dirty, then why does the Torah have to tell me that the Kohen should change his clothes? The Kohen knows proper procedure, he knows proper decorum, he knows what the normal thing to do, and he knows he doesn't want to get his clothes dirty, then automatically he will change the clothes. The Torah doesn't have to tell me to do something that obviously everybody knows. If it's not a requirement that he should change his clothing, it is only derech eretz, proper conduct, and Rashi even brings the example that every person knows that clothing that you cook, you should not serve the kapuan, then the Kohen also knows. Then what's the purpose for the Torah to tell us that the Kohen has to change his clothing? Sefer Shemen Roish brings the Medesh Rabbe, Parsha Zion, Simen Vov, in this sixth Parsha, where the Medesh Rabbe goes on the words, He o Oila al Mogda, that this is the elevation offering, that it's on the fire all night. The Medesh Rabbe says, Omar Rablevi, Rablevi says, Nimus, it's a rule, Kilusim, and we know for sure, Shekol Hamizgoy, anybody who is haughty, Eino Nidon Elo Beish, he is only judged by fire. The simple interpretation, it means to say that his punishment is going to be by fire. Shenemar, because it's written, He O Oila Al Mogda, this is the elevation offering on the fire. And the Radal explains that the interpretation of this Medrash is equal to the what the Medrash Tanhuma brings, but the Medrash Tanhuma doesn't say so clearly. The Medrash Tanhuma says that when the Pasuk says, Zois Toiras Oila, this is the rule of the Oila, it means to say that this is the rule for somebody who gets haughty, a Oila who makes himself high. The Pasuk is not referring, as we translated previously, about the Oila offering, meaning the elevation offering. The Torah here is alluding to that this is going to be the rule, a Oila for somebody who makes himself haughty, that he is going to be on the fire all night, meaning that he is going to be judged by fire. Because in the same way that he holds himself high, therefore Hashem gives a punishment to him, something that likes to go high. Fire likes to always go higher. Therefore, somebody who holds himself high is punished by fire. And the Medrash Tanhuma and the Medrash Rabbe both say that we see that the generation of the floods, because they were haughty, they were punished by fire, meaning that the water of the floods were also hot, so there was fire in the waters. The generation of Sdom, because they were haughty, they were punished by fire. Paroi, because he was haughty, says, who is Hashem, was punished by fire in the Makkah of hail, in the plague of hail, which was fire together. And so forth, Sancheirov was also haughty, was also punished by fire, and the Medrash concludes that everybody that is haughty is punished by fire. But the Medrash Rabbah's language is different than the Medrash Tanhumas, where the Medrash Rabbah says that Einoi Nidoin Elo Be'esh, that person is haughty, is only judged by fire. The Shemen Roish asks that this seems not to be consistent, because we have a lot of people that are haughty and we only have a limited amount of people that are punished by fire. Then why does Rablevi say that anybody who is haughty, Einoi Nidoin Elo Be'esh, is only judged by fire, if we see so many and countless haughty people and not all of them are punished by fire? We only see a limited amount of people that are punished by fire. then this rule doesn't seem to be true. Sefer Shemen Rosh starts by introducing the Gemara in Soita, Daf Dalet Omed Beis 4b, where there the Gemara is talking about the bad character of haughtiness. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishub Rabbi Shimon Bayechoy. Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bayechoy, Kol Odom Sheyesh Begasas Ruach, anybody who is haughty, Kilu Oivet Oivetes Kochavim, is tantamount of him doing idolatry. And he brings a proof to this point. Rabbi Yochanan says on his own, meaning not what he learned from Rabbi Shimon Bayechoy, Kilu Kofar Beikar, that it is tantamount that he denied the fundamental existence of Hashem. Rab Chama Bachanina says that somebody who is haughty, kilu ba kala aroyos, it's tantamount of him having immorality, having cohabitated, if all forbidden relationships. Ula says, ki ilu bona boma, it's tantamount of him constructing an altar, meaning that he's bringing an altar for idolatry. The Gemara continues and talks about the bad character of idolatry, and Rabbi Lozer says, Rou legadoi kashera, that a person who has idolatry is deserving to be cut down like an idolatrous tree. And all those that I mentioned bring verses to prove their point, and the Gemara brings more points regarding the bad character of haughtiness. So basically we see that haughtiness is something very bad. In the opposite, we see that Hashem loves humility, because the only quality that Moshe Rabbeinu was praised for by Hashem was Voish Moshe Onav Me'oit Mikol Odom Asher Apneu Adamo. In Bamidbar chapter 12, verse number 3, Hashem says that the man Moshe is more humble than any man on the face of the earth. So the only quality that Hashem praises Moshe Rabbeinu by is the quality of humility. So we see how bad haughtiness is and how great humility is. There's an interesting Medrash Rab in Parshas Nasoi, Perek Yud Gimel, Siman Yud Zayin, where there the pasuk is discussing the inauguration of the tabernacle, where right after the inauguration of the tabernacle, the 12 princes of the Jewish people, meaning the prince for each tribe, brought in consecutive days sacrifices, which happened to be the same sacrifices, and the first person to bring on the first day of the inauguration was Nachshon ben Aminadov for the tribe of Yehuda. But when the Torah describes Nachshon ben Aminadov, the Torah doesn't follow the same way that it follows in the second, third, and all other days. Because in the second day, for example, it's written that Nesanel ben Tzuor, Nesi Yisoschor, that the one who brought was Nesanel ben Tzuor, the prince of the tribe of Yisoschor. On the third day, it's written, Nosi Livnei Zvul, Eliyav ben Chelon, that the prince for the tribe of Zvul is Eliyav ben Chelon. And so forth, every day it's written, the prince of the tribe and who it was. But on the first day, regarding Nachshon ben Aminadov, it's written, Vayamakriv b'yom harishon eskrabono, it was the one who brought on the first day his sacrifice, Nachshon ben Aminadov, Nachshon, the son of Aminadov, lemata Yehuda, for the tribe of Yehuda. But it's not written, Nosi lemata Yehuda, the prince from the tribe of Yehuda. And there are many, which this is not the place to give those answers, that give the reason why it's not written Nosi, but the Medrash says, Lama b'cholon sim ksiv sham Nosi, why in all the princes it's written the name Nosi, meaning the title prince, the Nachshon ain't a kore Nosi, but by Nachshon ben Aminadov, it's not written that he's the Nosi. The Medrash answers, Sheim ba'al is gaius al nasim acherim, that if Nachshon wants to feel haughty over the other princes, loimer to say, Shani melech aleichem, that I'm the king over you, Shani krafti tchila, that I am the one who brought first, then obviously I am the king of everybody. Yoim ruloi, they should answer him, Ein ato elu hedyot, you aren't a prince, you are just a commoner. Shekulam kruyim nasi, everybody else is called a prince, ve'ato loi nikreisa nasi, but you, Nachshon ben Aminadov, are not called a prince. Meaning that if Nachshon Ben Menadav is going to decide that he is going to flaunt and say that he is better than anybody else, that he is the king of everybody, because he is the one who brought the sacrifices of the princes first, they will answer him that don't you get so haughty, because you are not a prince over anybody. You are even a commoner, because by our names it's written Nasi, the prince, that we are prince of our tribes, but by your name it's not written that you are prince, you are just a commoner that brought a sacrifice. Sefer Shemen Roish asks, what good is it that the Jewish people tell Nachshon Ben Aminadav, if he gets haughty, that he is a king of Israel, by saying to him that he is a commoner, when in fact we know that Nachshon Ben Aminadav was a prince, was a nasi for the tribe of Yehuda. And Nachshon Ben Aminadav also knows that. Then if you answer him back by saying that he is a commoner, he will laugh at you. Then what is the point that the Jewish people will tell Nachshon Ben Aminadav that he is not a nasi, that he is a commoner? What is the meaning by them saying that he is not a nasi? He is clearly a nasi, even though it's not written the word Nasi. Sefer Shemen Roish starts answering by explaining why the Jewish people call their leaders Nasi, princes. We know that now we don't have kings, and in the Gemara's time we didn't have kings, yet the leader of the Jewish people was always called a Nasi. As the leaders of the tribes are called Nesiim, princes, the leader of the Jewish people, even in exile, is also called a Nasi. And the question is, why specifically they are given the title Nasi? Sefer Shemen Roish brings down the Zohar in Parshas Pinchas, Daf Reish Lamed Ches Omed Beis, where the Zohar is trying to answer the question that is also brought down by Rashi. Rashi on Bereishis chapter 1, verse 26, where the Pasuk says, Vayomer Elokim, Hashem said, Nase Adam, let us make man, Ketzalmenu Ukidmusenu, in our image, in our likeness. Rashi is bothered by the plural of saying, Nase Adam, let us make man. Hashem is consulting if somebody to make man, that he can't make them alone. And Rashi goes on to explain that this is to teach the humility of Hashem, but the Zohar gives a different interpretation. I mentioned this Zohar previously when we were learning on Parshas Truma regarding the Tachash, and the Zohar says that Hashem was speaking to all creations, and Hashem was telling that all creations should give something of their own in order to make man. Meaning that all the animals and all creation joined together, and together with Hashem they created man. That we have characteristics from all the animals within us. And that's why in Ovis de Rabnosen, a man is called Oilam Cotton, a small world, because man really is comprised of everything in the world, and man has in him parts of every part of the world, therefore he is considered a small world. I also mentioned that Sefer Even Shlemo in Parshas Sazria, Ois Vav, interprets with that what is written in Maseches Ovis, Perik Hei, Mishnah, Chuf Gimel 23, Yuda ben Teme Oimer, Yuda ben Teber says, Have as kanamor, you should be as bold as a leopard, the kal kanesher, you should be as light as an eagle, rotz katzvi, you should run, be as swift as a deer, the gibor kori, you should be as strong as a lion, laso zetzunavicha shebashamayim, in order for you to do the will of your Father in heaven. And the question is that no matter how a person will try, he will never be as light as an eagle. No matter how strong he wants to be, he'll never be as strong as a lion. No matter how fast he wants to be, he'll never be as fast as a deer. Then what is Rabbi Yehuda ben Teima saying? And the answer is, based on the Zohar, that it means to say that you should be as strong as a lion, means that you should be as strong as the part that the lion gave to you. You should be as light as an eagle, meaning you should be as light as the part that the eagle gave to you. You should be as swift as a deer, which means that you should be as swift as the part that the deer gave to you. And so you should be as bold as a leopard, which means that you should be as bold as the part that the leopard gave to you. It doesn't mean exactly like they are. It means that they gave these characters in you, and you should utilize those characteristics to its full potential in order to serve Hashem. Sefer Shemen Roish asks, if that is true, which animal gave us the character of haughtiness? Since all our characters come from different animals, which animals gave us the characteristic of haughtiness? Sefer Shemen Roish answers that the Medrash actually tells you which animals gave you the characteristic, because the Medrash Rabba in Beshalach, Perek Chav Gimel, Siman Yud Gimel says, Omar Rabavin. Rabavin says, Arba mina geim nivra boilam. There are four types of haughty in the world. Geo Shebe Brio is Adam. The most haughty amongst the creations is man. Geo Shebe Oifo is Nesher. The most haughty amongst the birds is the eagle. Geo Shebe Behemoth Shor. The most haughty amongst the domesticated animal is an ox. Geo Shebe Chayo is Ari. The most haughty of the wild animals is a lion. The Kulam Notlu Malchus. All of them received a kingdom, meaning the lion is the king of the wild animals, the ox is the king of the domesticated animals, the eagle is the king of the birds, and man is the king of all creation. Venitu Elohim Gedula, and all of them were given greatness. Vehem kevuim tachas merkavah shehakodesh baruch hu, and they are fixed under the throne of Hashem. Shenemar, because it's written in Hezekiel chapter 1, verse number 6, that Yechezkel saw the throne of Hashem, and there was four faces, Udmus Pneim, and the look of the faces is Pnei Adam, the face of a man, Upnei Arye, the face of a lion, Upnei Shoir, the face of an ox, Upnei Nesher, the face of an eagle. V'kol kach lama, why did Hashem have to put those faces under his throne? Kedei shelo yisgal ba'olam, in order for them not to be haughty in this world, ve'yedu, and they should know sheyesh malchus shamayim aleihem, that there is a king in heaven over them. Meaning that all these four are the kings over the species, and therefore they became haughty. Hashem put them under the throne in order to tell them that, yes, you are haughty, but I am the king over all. And the truth is that the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis 13b, says almost the same thing, but it doesn't say it so clearly. The Gemara says, in the name of Rish Lakish, Melech Shebechayo Zari, the king of the wild animals is a lion, Melech Shebe Behemo is Shor, the king of the domesticated animals is ox, Melech Shebe Oifo is Nesher, the king of the birds is eagle, the Adam Mizgoyaleim, and man is more haughty than them, because man really controls them, V'Kodesh Baruch Hu Mizgoyal Kulam V'Kol Olam Kuloi, and Hashem exalts himself upon all of them and upon the whole world in its entirety. You see clearly from this Gemara and from this Medrash Rabbah that the characteristic of haughtiness that man has came from these three animals, the ox, the eagle, and the lion. They are the ones that gave this characteristic of haughtiness to mankind. Sefer Shemen Roish continues and says that a nasi, a prince, a leader of the Jewish people, has to be a person that's separated from the people, a person that holds himself above the Jewish people, a person that the people will look up to. Therefore, the person is required to have a little bit of haughtiness in order to be able to raise himself above the people. As a matter of fact, we see in the Gemara in Ksubas, Daf Kuf Gimel 103b, where there the Gemara is relating the last day of Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rabbi's life, where Rabbi is transferring the power to his children. He calls his youngest child, Rabbi Shimon, and he gives him the ways of wisdom. And then he calls his oldest child, Rabbi Gamliel, and he gives over to Rabbi Gamliel, Seder Nesios, the protocol of Nesios, and Amaloi, and he tells Rabbi Gamliel, Beni, my son, Rashi interprets as you should make sure to conduct your leadership among the exalted, among the wise people, which means that you should surround yourself with wise people and then you should become a leader. But Sefer Shemen Roish gives a different interpretation. He says that it means to say, Nehoig Nesiascha, make sure that you conduct your leadership, Beramim, with Yad Rama, with a strong arm, meaning that everybody knows, everybody understands that you are the leader. Don't act very nicely to the people. Make sure you act with the people with a strong arm. And the second thing that Rabbi said is, Uzroik Mora Letalmidim, that you should throw fear into the students, meaning that your students should fear you, like that they will respect you, because since you represent the position of the Nasi, of the prince of the Jewish people, then you have to put fear and you have to be with a strong arm, which means that you have to be a little bit haughty in order to be able to achieve that position. But you have to make sure that that haughtiness is l'shem shamayim, is for heaven's sake. Because the Pasuk writes down in Divrei Hayomim Beis, chapter Yud Zayin, Pasuk number Yud, Ve'ikba liboy bedarkei Hashem, that your heart becomes haughty in the ways of Hashem. If you have pure intentions about your leadership, then it is okay to become haughty. And Sefer Shemen Roish says that is the reason why the prince, why the leader is called Nasi. Because in order for you to become a Nasi, you require to have haughtiness. And the word Nasi is comprised of the four letters Nun, Shin, Yud, Aleph. And those are the animals that gave the characteristic of haughtiness to this leader. Meaning, the Nun is for Nesher, which is the eagle. As we mentioned, the eagle gave haughtiness to mankind. The Sin is from the letter Shor, axe, which the axe also gave haughtiness. And the Aleph is from the letter Ari, lion, which the lion also gave us the haughtiness. But in order for us to make sure that we understand that we are not allowed to be haughty all the time, that we are only allowed to be haughty when we are serving Hashem, therefore, in the middle of these letters, we put the letter Yud, which is number one, the smallest letter of the Jewish alphabet, because the Yud is the smallest letter, and number two, the Yud is the initial of Hashem's name, for you to know that that haughtiness is only when you are doing it L'Shem Shomayim, you're serving Hashem, because otherwise you are required to be Yud, to become humble. According to this, says Sefer Shemen Roish, we could now answer the Medrash on Parshas Nosoi, because we asked the question, how can we say to Nachshon that he is not a Nosi anymore, that he is not a prince anymore, that he is a commoner? The truth is that they didn't mean to say exactly this idea. They meant to say that Nachshon, if you are becoming haughty and you are flaunting the fact that you were first in front of us, then you don't deserve to be a Nasi anymore. You are not taking care of the letters Nasi, because Nasi is the Nun of the eagle, the Shin of the axe, and the Aleph of the lion, but you forgetting the Yud in the middle of the word Nasi. So they were telling him, true that you are always going to be a prince, but you're not a Nasi anymore, meaning you're not deserving of the title Nasi, because you are haughty and you're not doing it L'Shem Shomayim, for heaven's sake. And when you are not doing it L'Shem Shomayim, when you are not doing it for heaven's sake, then you don't deserve to have the title Nasi. Sefer Shemen Roish goes back to that Medrash that we mentioned previously, that there are four haughty beings in the world: man, axe, eagle, and lion. And to all Hashem gave kingdom, and to all of them Hashem gave greatness, and all of them are now fixed under the throne of Hashem, as the Pasuk in Yechezkel brought down, in order for them to know that they should not become haughty in this world, and they should know that there is kingship of Hashem over them. Sefer Shemen Roish asks that this seems to be contradicting what we just mentioned previously. Because we mentioned previously there are four beings that are haughty in this world. And then you say that Hashem fixed them under the throne of Hashem in order for them not to be haughty. but you just mentioned that they are haughty. That seems to be a contradiction. And furthermore, asks Sefer Shemen Roish, the Gemara in Erechin, Daf Tezvav Amud Beis 15b, says, V'omar Rav Chisda Omar Marukva. Rav Chisda says in the name of Marukva, Kol HaMesaper Lashon Hara, anybody who speaks Lashon Hara, derogatory remarks, Omar Kudosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to him, Ein ani vehu yecholim lador boilam, that I and he cannot dwell together in the world. And the Gemara brings the pasuk in Tehillim 101, verse number 5, that says, Meloshni baseser re'eu oiso atzmis, he who slanders his neighbor in secret, I will cut him down. Gvai naim urechav levav oiso loyuchal, somebody who has a haughty eye, an expensive heart, I can't bear. Al tikri oisoi loy uchal, do not read that him I can't bear. Elo itoi loy uchal, that with him I cannot bear. Meaning Hashem cannot bear being next to somebody who speaks Lashon Hara, speaks derogatory remarks. And the Gemara continues and says, Viki de masnelo al gaseruach, that are those that say that what Rav Chisda said in the name of Marukva wasn't referring to somebody who spoke derogatory remarks, it was referring to somebody who is haughty. Since the pasuk that says, Oisoi lo yuchal, him I cannot bear, is actually next to the words, Gva einayim urechav levav, somebody who is haughty eyes and expensive heart, about somebody who is haughty. Therefore, there are those who learn that Mar Ukva really said that statement regarding somebody who is haughty, meaning that Hashem cannot bear to be next to somebody who is haughty. If that is so, then we have a bigger question. How can Hashem take these four haughty beings and put under his Kisa Kovet if the Gemara says that Hashem and the haughty cannot be in the same world? Then how can they be under the Kisa Kovet, under the throne of Hashem? Sefer Shemen Roish answers this question with the Mishnah in Avos, chapter 6, Mishnah 11, where the Mishnah says, Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamoy, everything Hashem created in His world, lo yivarehu elo lichvodoy, He created solely for His honor. Meaning Hashem created everything for His honor. Then he asks, if the attribute of haughtiness, the characteristic of haughtiness is so bad, and so despised for Hashem, why did Hashem create it in this world? And he answers that sometimes haughtiness is a good thing, as we saw the pasuk in Divrei Yomim that says, "Va'igba liboy bedarkei Hashem," that you're supposed to be haughty when you're doing the mitzvahs of Hashem, because a lot of times we are required to act with haughtiness in order to combat the evil inclination, meaning that you want to make a mitzvah. The evil inclination comes to you and says, why you bother making the mitzvah? That mitzvah won't make any effect. Therefore, we are required to be haughty at that point and know that whatever we do, what action we make in this world, has repercussions in the upper worlds. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin Omed Aleph says that every person has to say, Bishvili Nivra Olam, the whole world was created for me. Meaning, that's my responsibility to make sure I do everything I can in order to fix the world, because I am the whole purpose that the world is created, even though that's a haughty statement, but that statement gives you the huge responsibility. Also, that statement helps you to shake off the evil inclination who makes you believe that you are insignificant and it doesn't matter if you perform this action or not. You have to know that you are considered Ben Melachim, as Rabbi Akiva says that Kol Yisrael Bnei Melachim Hem, that all the Jewish people are sons of kings, meaning we all princes. Therefore, we must act accordingly, and we must act with responsibility, and we can't act in a lowly manner. And this is the same meaning that it's written in Bereishis, chapter 28, verse number 12, where Yaakov has a dream, and Yaakov sees a ladder staying on the ground, and the top of the ladder is in heaven. Umalach Elohim, and the angels of Hashem, Oilim veYordim boy, go up and down on it. Normally, the translation is that Yaakov Avinu dreamt, and he saw angels going up and down, boy, on the ladder. But Sefer Shemen Roish changes this translation, and he says that the translation is that he saw angels going up and down, boy, depending on him. Meaning, depending on the action that Yaakov did, he saw the angels go up and down. Meaning, that Yaakov is the cause for the angels to either go up or go down. Depending how we'll act in this world, that's how you will cause the angels to act in the world to come. And to act properly, thinking that way, you require to be haughty. Therefore, Hashem created haughtiness in this world in order to allow you to combat your Yetzer Hara and for you to understand your huge responsibility that you have to this world. And according to this, now we can understand why Hashem created the character of haughtiness and the meaning of the Medrash. The Medrash says that Hashem created these four haughty things. V'kulam kvuim tachas ha-merkava sh'akodesh baruch hu. Hashem decided to affix them under the throne of Hashem to teach them that the haughtiness is only good when it's connected to the throne of Hashem, when you're acting properly, when you're acting for a mitzvah. And the Medrash continues and says that Hashem put them under the throne of Hashem kedei shelo yizgau ba'olam, in order for them not to get haughty in the world, meaning in this world, when you're dealing with matters regarding this world, not regarding a mitzvah, then you should not be haughty. Ve'yedu, and they should know, sheyesh malchus shamayim aleihem, that the only reason that they were created is in order to have malchus shamayim over them, in order to have the kingdom of Hashem over them. So Hashem specifically created these four haughty beings and decided that He's going to place them in the throne of Hashem to teach us and to teach them that they should not be haughty in matters regarding this world, but only haughty in matters regarding Hashem. And it's important to know that this that we mentioned, that a person should be haughty in order to make the mitzvahs of Hashem, that only works when you're going to perform the mitzvahs. But after you perform the mitzvahs already, then your evil inclination has a very nice way to say, wow, I performed such a great mitzvah, I deserve a pat in the back. And it tends to make you haughty at this point, because he tries to get you before you perform the mitzvah, and he tries to get you after you perform the mitzvah. But after you perform the mitzvah, at that point, haughtiness is not good anymore. And now we could start interpreting the pasuk. The pasuk says, Tzavez Aharon v'zbonav leimor, command Aharon and his children, saying, Zois toiras ha'oila. This is the rule of haughtiness. As we mentioned, the Medrash Tanchuma says that the oila that goes up is not talking about the elevation offering, it's talking about the character of a person. So how to proper to use your haughtiness? The pasuk continues and says, "He or oila al moigda," that you're supposed to use the haughtiness al moigda in order to make sure that you get your fire inside you, which means that you get excited on the mitzvahs. Ala mizbeach kol laila, that it should be because of the mizbeach all night, meaning that you are now going to get ready to take a shovel full of ashes and put it from the Mizbeach to the side of the Mizbeach, which seems to be a very trivial thing, and your evil inclination is now going to tell you what you're doing this for, who cares what you're doing. Nonetheless, the Torah tells you that Ve'esh HaMizbeach Tukat Boy, that the fire on the Mizbeach should burn in you. And once you get this warmth, once you're ready to get that fire on the Mizbeach, that haughtiness, which is symbolized by fire, then velavash ha-koyen midoivat, then we tell the Koyen to dress up with his priestly clothing, meaning that now that he is haughty, he's going to do a mitzvah, now he's worthy to wear the priestly clothing that he is going to do the mitzvah that Hashem commanded, and therefore, veheirim es hadeshen, now he's going to be a level that is uplifting the ashes. He's not just taking the ashes, because now he is haughty. He knows what he does, makes a difference. He knows that he is doing the will of Hashem, and if he does it properly, then in heaven things will happen, then he's not just taking the ashes, he's lifting up the ashes and he's putting it next to the Mizbeach. But the Torah is telling you, after you do this, after you finish putting on the ashes, then the Foshat as Begadov, then he should remove his clothing, meaning that he should make sure to remove that clothing that he put on, that haughtiness that he put on, Velavash Begadim Acherim, and he has to dress if other clothing, meaning that he should not be haughty about the mitzvah that he made. Because there is always a danger that if you start getting haughty for Hashem, after you perform the mitzvah, that haughtiness will remain with you. Therefore, the Torah tells you that as soon as you finish making this Trumas Adeshen, this lifting of the ashes, then you should remove those haughty clothing and you should dress in other clothing, meaning not be haughty anymore. We see from here that haughtiness sometimes is good and sometimes is bad, depending how you utilize this haughtiness. The same thing is said about fire, because the normally Melech brings down in Parshas Kisisa, there where we know that we are supposed to give the Machzis a shekel, half the shekel, and the Medrash says that Niskashe Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time understanding the Machzis a shekel, the half a shekel, until Hashem took a Matbea Shel Eish, a coin of fire, and showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu. The normally Melech explains that Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand how can money be an atonement for the sin of the golden calf. Therefore, Hashem showed them a coin of fire, which Hashem was implying in the same way that fire could be beneficial if you use it for cooking or use it to warm up a room, but it could also be detrimental if you use the fire to burn somebody's house down or you use the fire to destroy. So too, the coin that you give could be beneficial if you give it to charity, if you give it to a yeshiva, and it could be destructive if you use it for idolatry. But nonetheless, we see that fire could be sometimes constructive and sometimes destructive. According to this, we could explain the first Medrash Rabbah that we asked a question about, which is the Medrash Rabbah that says, Omar Rablevi says, Nimuz v'klusimhu, there is a clear rule, shekoh mizgoeh, that anybody who is haughty, Eino nidoin elo be'esh, is only judged by fire. Shenemar, because it's written, he o oilo al mogdo, that this is the oilo, the haughtiness on fire. And we ask that we see that there are a lot of haughty people in the world, and yet we see that not always they are judged by fire. And the answer is that the Medrash doesn't mean to say that they are judged by burning. The Medrash means to say that they are judged by fire, meaning they are judged by the characteristic of fire, in the same way that the characteristic of fire sometimes is beneficial and sometimes is detrimental, so too somebody who is haughty is judged exactly by the parameters of fire that Hashem first checks out if that haughtiness was beneficial or that haughtiness was detrimental. And the Medrash brings one idea, where do I find that haughtiness could be beneficial? And that is from the Pasuk, He or Oila al Magda, that this is the Oila, the haughtiness which is on fire all night, meaning that he's getting ready to make the mitzvah of Trumas Adeshen all night. That haughtiness is a good haughtiness, but the haughtiness that the Medrash mentions, the haughtiness of Paroi, the haughtiness of Sancheiruv, and the haughtiness of the generation of the floods, those were bad haughtiness, therefore Hashem punished them. But every time somebody is haughty, he is judged by fire, meaning he is judged to see if he follows the quality of fire that sometimes is beneficial and sometimes is destructive. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all have the proper haughtiness to serve Hashem. And if we have the proper haughtiness and we serve Hashem properly, then we'll merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt, b'mheira b'yomeinu, Amen.